Kings, chapter number 2. Passing the baton is a pretty important part of winning the race. Those who are able to pass the baton without losing a step or a part of a step are the ones who are able to win the race. You can easily lose the race when you lose time in passing the baton. As you look at the Bible, of course, the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus was about passing the torch, passing the baton. That's what his whole ministry was about, was to make sure that the baton gets passed on. And that the ministry not only continues, but it continues in the same spirit. And we heard the message greater works by Brother Carpenter, the great principal, that now you have a whole host of men armed with the Word of God and empowered by the Spirit of God to take the things forward. You know, it's a great mystery. It's a baffling mystery, in one sense of the word. You hear of great men like D.L. Moody, and you think, Well, we know that he didn't pass the baton to his children. They would say R.A. Torrey was the man who took over the ministry of D.L. Moody, and pretty much there was a good passing of the baton. think of Charles Spurgeon, and you think, you know, boy, wouldn't it be great to have more Charles Spurgeons, you know? And yet he had an impact on his family, but really, in one sense of the word, the torch wasn't totally passed on. In fact, after his death, the church went back into the Baptist Union in England, the very thing for which he died for. And we see a great need of the passing of the torch. See a great need for the work that God has begun to continue in the same spirit. That's really the great truth here with Elijah and Elisha. There was a passing of the torch. And let's just read a few verses here. In 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah, and said unto him, knowest thou that thy Lord will take away, the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. You know, the passing of the torch. As you look at this passage of Scripture, one thing that you are confronted with is that Elisha realized that it wasn't in him. It wasn't in him that the ministry could be continued. It wasn't in his natural ability. It wasn't in his natural powers. It was not in his natural self that the ministry was going to be continued. He recognized that for the ministry to continue, that what he needed was the spirit of Elijah. Now, of course, we know that the spirit of Elijah was the Holy Spirit of God. We, of course, read early in the Scriptures how God told Elijah that he was to anoint Elisha. And in the Bible, the whole principle of anointing was a picture of the unction and the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that was given to men to be ministers for God. And we find some interesting things here, is that Elisha was well aware of Elijah's humanness. The Bible says in James chapter 5 that Elijah was a man subject unto like passions as we are. He was weak. He was human. He had his faults. Elijah was quite aware of the fact that Elijah became fearful of Jezebel. How he ran from Jezebel. How he was discouraged. And how he came and said, you know, he lost sight of his ministry. And he said, oh, you know, just let me die. Let me die. You know, he was filled with human frailty, human passions. But you know, he looked beyond Elijah's humanness and he recognized what we all need to recognize is that we're all human. And that is not what the ministry is about. The ministry is about the God of heaven and what he can do in a life. It's not us. It's not who I am. It's not necessarily my abilities. It's his power and our hunger and our recognition and our dependence upon God's power. And so as we think of the passing of the torch, we see that the greatest need, the greatest perspective that needs to be had. Now, we're talking about young people. Okay? Here we got little Micah here. You know what? You're another generation. You know, you're a generation. Where's that little Josh fella? Josh Golzinski, okay? You're a generation. Now there's a next generation right behind you. There's a Wyatika. That's another generation. You know, we have lots of generations here. Every generation needs to take the torch. The ministry needs to continue on, and it needs to continue on from generation to generation. Now, notice what he said. He said, what do you want? What do you need? He said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You know, it's an interesting phenomenon in this day in which we live is that the old-time fundamentalists, I think of Brother Ketchum, who started the GRB. I think of the old-time fundamentalists who left the Northern Baptist Convention and started the CBA, and then eventually the mixed multitude came with them and they separated. And those men who stood for the cause of Christ and were used of God, and really there was a one sense of the word, there was kind of a little touch of revival among the Baptists in the 60s and the 70s. And there was a great work of God going on. But what happened in the 80s and 90s was that the new fundamentalists began to reject the old fundamentalists. And William Williams, not William Williams, but a fellow by the name of Williams, can't think of his first name, with Les Ola out of Northland, wrote a book about fundamentalism. This is in the early 90s. And what they were saying is we don't really appreciate our fundamentalist forefathers. They were too human. And we don't want to be identified with them. They had too many imperfections. And we want to be a new fundamentalist. Well, now you know where Northland has gone to. That was the approach. And as I remember reading that book, I said, you know, there's something vitally wrong here. There's something vitally wrong. You know, I know many of those old-time fundamentalists. They weren't perfect. But you know, the old-time fundamentalists, many of them were 50, 60 years old. They had been a pair of the American Baptist Convention, and they decided that they had to separate from the compromise and from the liberalism. And their pension was in the American Baptist Convention. And they said, we're going to stand for truth no matter what. They left their pension, they left their future, they left their the financial thing that would sustain them the rest of their life for truth's sake. You know, it cost them something. You know, that's the genuine thing. When people are willing to pay the price for truth, there's something genuine about it. And the new fundamentalists were saying, you know what? We reject that. We reject those men. We reject their imperfections. We want a new fundamentalism. Now, I hope you get the flavor of what I'm trying to say. Elisha knew the personal human weaknesses of Elijah, didn't he? But he said, "Look, you know, Lord, I want the power of Elijah. Lord, I know what you did in his life was your work. It was the work of the Spirit of God. It was the power of the living God. That's what I want. I want Elijah's spirit. I want a double portion of Elijah's spirit. That passion, that conviction, that sacrifice, that willingness to stand for truth no matter what the cost. A man who knew how to pray and get answers to prayer. A person who knew how to trust God to do great miracles. He said, that's what I want. I want the power of Elijah upon my life. You see the picture? Don't get lost in the human part. Look at the God of Elijah. Look at the God who was working. And so you know what he said? He said, you know, I want a double portion of that. I don't want the work just to maintain. I want it to go forward with even greater power. What a great truth. You know, let's look at the human side of it. I remember in Bible college, Dr. Cedarholm would say, he got up one day, I don't know, he said this a couple times. He said, you know, you young men, when you're older and you're in the ministry, this is what you're going to say. You're going to say, you know, I love Dr. Cedarholm and I love this influence on my life, but you know what? He was way too narrow. He is way too narrow. You know what? I'm just going to loosen up a little bit. Oh, I love him. I respect him. But you know, I'm just not going to be that extreme. You know, I find it's observation, humanly, what happens on a human level is that many times people take the weaknesses of men after they're dead and follow them and reject their strengths. Reject their strengths, but magnify and use their weaknesses as an excuse to go in the wrong direction. Now, but you see the perspective of Elisha? He said, you know what? I want a double portion of Elijah's spirit. You know what? You know what he's thinking about? He's thinking about Elijah's extremism. He's thinking about a man who prayed for 3.5 months and it didn't rain. He's talking about a man who trusted God and called upon God to raise up this young man from the dead. I mean, I'd call that kind of extremism. That's what he's talking about. It was the work that God did in Elijah's life that he wanted continued. And you know, many people don't get that perspective. They wanna take the natural or the human part, but they don't want to take the spiritual part. They don't want to take the spiritual fervor. They don't want to take the spiritual insight. They don't want to take the spiritual powers. That's what they want. But that's what Elijah said, I want that. And no young person, what do you want? Do you want to think of the ministry on a human level? Or do you want to think of the ministry on a spiritual level? And passing to the torch requires a looking at the ministry on a spiritual level. It's looking at the ministry from a supernatural level. It's looking at the ministry from only what God could do. And that's really what the ministry is all about, is what God can do. Paul says, it's not with enticing words of man's wisdom that I spoke unto you, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hey, this is the work of God is about what God can do. So, notice as he recognized that, there's a couple truths here, and actually Philip preached a great message on it. He did a better job than I'm going to do tonight. But first of all, we see the principle of identification. Notice, the Lord said, you know, the torch is going to pass if you are with Elijah when he's taken to heaven. The torch is going to pass as if you are with Elijah when he's taken up to heaven. And notice how Elijah's, you know, just trying to test him. You know, hey, I'm going here, Elijah, why don't you stay here, you know? And no, I'm going here, he gets there. Says, no, Elijah, why don't you just stay here, you know, Elijah, you just stay here. And The whole principle was identification. He wasn't going to be separated from Elijah. He wanted to be identified with his ministry. He wanted to be identified with the man of God. He wanted to be identified with God's call on Elijah. And what was God's call? To show that the living God was alive. And the key was identification with the man of God. You know, it's interesting. I think I've said this before. The Word of God is many times centered around what God is doing in the man of God. I've mentioned this before. I've noticed how in the Bible that we hear a lot about Barnabas. And he was a great man. But when Barnabas was going to go on the second missionary journey with the Apostle Paul, he said, you know what, I want to take John Mark. And Apostle Paul said, nope, I'm not going to have a quitter come with me. And Barnabas says, you know, he's my nephew or whatever he was. And I'm going to take this personal, and so I'm not going with you. I'll just go with John Mark. Now, we know God worked it out in the long run, but you know, you never read about Barnabas again in the Bible. After that, who do you read about? Oh, you read about Silas. You read about Timothy. You read about Titus. Who were they? They were all men associated with the Apostle Paul. They're the principle of identification. And it's not the principle of identification with a man, but it's really a principle of identification with the ministry that God has called a man to. Now, I don't understand that. I don't know that I know all the answers about that. But there's some great truths there. And maybe the Lord will show you what the great truths are. But just notice that in life. Is that the identification with the man of God and the call of God. Notice the second principle is the principle of continuation. The continuation. He wanted greater power in the same cause. He wanted greater power in the same cause. You know, one of the biggest problems today, young preachers who want to go to a different cause. Young preachers who want to do something new, who want to be novel, who somehow think that they can, take a ministry and it's going to be better in a new direction. Now, I recognize that there's principles there that go on both sides. But he recognized that the ministry must continue. He said, I want this double portion of the spirit of Elisha. Of Elijah. I want to go on in the same direction. I want to go on in the same direction. Of course, Elijah was taken, verse 14. And the mantle of Elijah fell upon him, and he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. Okay? The principle was that the God of Elijah was going to continue to be glorified. The glorification of the living God through the ministry of Elisha, who is continuing the ministry of Elijah, who was called and was empowered by God. You know, that's young person, that is the key, is that you recognize that the purpose of your life is to glorify the God of your Father. It's your purpose to continue that cause, that work, that glorification of the Lord. So, he recognized it was not his work, but it was God's work. It was not... it was a divine work. It wasn't a ministry of new ideas, a ministry of new novel approaches. It was not a ministry of lowering the standards, but it was a ministry of continuing in the same power. Now, you know, John, remember the testimony of John McCarroll, who was the founder of the Fishermen's Clubs. And he said, you know, as I look at the Bible, I realize that the New Testament Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, you know, I figured that, you know, I'm going to copy them. And then I can have the same power that they have. And I find in the, he said, I found out in the New Testament Christians, what were the New Testament Christians doing? What were they about? You know what they were about? They were fervent for hearing the Word of God. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking, and etc. They were fervent in the Word of God. He said, I found out they were fervent in prayer. I found out that they were fervent in witnessing. I found out they were fervent in the local church. And they were fervent in depending upon the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, you know what? I just figured that, okay, I'm going to be just like them. I'm going to give myself to the Word of God. I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to hear the Bible every time. I'm going to make the Bible the center of my life and my ministry. He says, I decided that, you know what? We're going to make much of prayer. We're going to prayer is going to be a very important part of this ministry. He said, I decided that that one of the key principles is that we are going to make soul winning and witnessing a fervent and central part of the ministry. We're going to make depending upon the Holy Spirit and missions and starting church, going to make that the center of our ministry. He said, you know what? I just found out. But if you copy the New Testament, you're going to get the spirit and the power of the New Testament church. You don't need something new. You don't need to lower the standards. You don't need to stop preaching against sin. You need to copy what's in the Bible already. And that's really so simple. That's what he said. He said, I don't want something new. I want more of the power of Elijah. Isn't that amazing? You know, we got all sorts of new things today. All sorts of new things. Yeah. Got new things. We got Christian rock music. We have dancers. We have choreography in churches today. I mean, you know, we have a casual dress. You know, we have informal services. We have forget prayer meeting. You know, let's have a kids club on Wednesday night. Hey, let's just forget Sunday night. I mean, let's just have a nice date for ourselves, you know. Hey, let's forget about sowing. You know, life is too busy. Let's forget about sowing. Let's forget about church. You know, your life is all about you, you know. Let's not inconvenience your life, you know. You know, a little dab-a-do-ya 1 hour a week, maybe, you know. Let's just take it easy. Let's just have a great time with the Lord. How's the newfangled Christianity working? How many young people are calling in the Lord's work? How many genuine conversions where people are turned from sin and live a holy, separated life? Where's the fervency for God that people love to hear God's word and want to be in church on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Where is it? Well, it's dead. Why? Because our goal and our need is to copy what the Bible has. Copy what the Bible has. You know, do we want to copy what the New Testament has? We want that spirit. That's how the ministry continues. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They loved the Lord's house. They loved the preaching of God's word. They loved to study the Bible. They loved to learn God's word. The Lord's day was the Lord's day. Prayer was important. The church prayed. And yes, when churches pray, something happens. Amen. That's why we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night, because we need to pray. That's why we have men's prayer meeting, because when churches pray, something happens. And you know, when churches stop copying the New Testament, they start dying. And when they start dying, then they're going to have to get something that's a substitute for the real thing. Is that your goal, young person? We need young people who said, we want to copy the New Testament. We need young people who say, you know what I want to have? I want to see what God did. I want to see a people who love the Lord's house, who love the preaching of God's word, who love to be in the Lord's house. I want that old-fashioned Christianity. That's what I want. I want the spirit of the old-timers. I want the spirit as revealed in the New Testament. I want to copy that. You know, the torch has to be carried on. And it's going to have to be carried on by young people who say, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want a people who love the Bible, who love to win souls, who love to pray, who love to fellowship around God's people, who that's what their life is all about. That's what I want. That's what the new generation, every generation has to get it. Now, if you're a young person here tonight, now Mr. Myers is right. You know, I can preach to young people, they don't get offended. But actually, I'm preaching to the adults. But you know, young people, the question is, do you love God's house? Do you love God's house? Do you love to hear the preaching of the Word of God? Do you love prayer meeting? Do you come to a prayer meeting and say, boy, you know what? We're going to accomplish something tonight. We're going to accomplish something tonight. Do you love prayer meeting? Is your heart all about reaching the world with Jesus Christ and the gospel and seeing people saved? I mean, is that your heartbeat? That's the heartbeat of the New Testament. Is your heartbeat, oh, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, can you believe it? Apostle Paul goes into this town, and you know what? They're, so to speak, throwing rocks at him, bringing the keys to the jail to lock him up, and he's preaching, and people are getting saved. And they know if they get saved, they might get locked up, but they're still getting saved. I mean, that's a real thing. They're the power of the Spirit of God upon them. No, we don't need to change the message. You know, people say, oh, we're going to change the message. We're going to take away the jail keys, and we're going to take away the persecution and the rocks, and, you know, we're going to replace it with pillows and marshmallows and make it easy, and then everybody's going to want to get saved. No. It may have an appearance, but it won't be the genuine thing. Passing the torch. You know, Elisha, recognized there need to be a continuation, not a separation, not a change. He needed a continuation. And boy, we need every generation in this church. We need the senior citizens to recognize that, you know what? This church needs to stay strong in every way that it can. And if that means that senior citizens have to change some things in their life that they're used to doing, They need to change what's going on because they need to rise up. And we need adults who say, oh, I'm not going to get tired of the Lord's work. I'm not going to get tired of the things of God. I'm not going to let the world take away my heart. We need a continuation. We need young men. We need children, everyone, to get that sense that the most important thing is continuation of that New Testament spirit in this place. And it takes young people, adults with vision and a heart and a hunger and a desperate prayer, they would take place. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that even though you use human instruments, they are frail. They're human. We have big faults. But Lord, that isn't what the ministry is about. Lord, it's what you do. It's the Spirit of God who convicts of sin, who gives convictions, who gives discernment of right and wrong, who gives a heart for souls, a passion for souls, a passion for truth, an understanding of truth. It's, Lord, what you do. Help us to look to what the ministry really is, the work of the Spirit of God, exalting the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living Savior, who is still saving souls, who is still alive, and is desirous to save to the uttermost them that will come to God through him. Lord, might this be the cry of our young men, not a new path, Lord, but a continuation and even a greater power of the Spirit of God in this place. What you have started, may it go on. Lord, we know the devil has his way of trying to separate people from what you have done. And then we see how they lose vision and they lose passion and how many times they just become cold. Because they've been able to be separated from the work of God through various human things. Lord, work in our midst. Heads bowed and eyes closed.